Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, the gospel lesson we are confronted with today is a real puzzler, I think. This passage from Luke seems to be highlighting two completely different themes. In the first part, the disciples look at Jesus and say, "Increase our faith." Jesus says, "Well, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, 'Be uprooted, planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The message appears to be, if we have even the smallest amount of faith, we can do great things. Then our Lord switches things up, switches scenes, and paints for us a picture of a servant who's been out in the field working hard all day. When the servant comes into the house, he's not asked to sit down and relax and eat. The servant is asked to prepare the master's supper, knowing his turn to eat and drink comes later. The servant doesn't even expect any appreciation or reward, because he has simply done what is expected of him. So what, if anything, does the first part of the passage have to do with the second part? Well, let's see if we can attempt to fit the puzzle pieces together to create a picture of faith and service from which we all may benefit. Let's look more closely at part one of our gospel. Now, if we were to rewind a few verses earlier in this text, just before today's lesson, Jesus offers the disciples some challenging words about forgiveness. He tells them, if the same person sins against you 7 times a day, yet turns back to you 7 times and says, "I repent," you must forgive. This is where our text today picks up, and after hearing such a huge challenge, the disciples immediately respond, "Increase our faith." It's as though they're saying, "Wait a minute, Jesus, that's a pretty tall order. We're going to need some major spiritual muscle to fulfill this assignment." Given the challenge that Jesus laid out, I think we can empathize with the disciples, right? I know I have times in my life when I could use much more faith than I feel that I actually have. And I would assume it's probably much the same for you. How many times have you or I thought, "I just had a little more faith, I'd be more patient in frustrating circumstance. I'd have more wisdom and strength to handle the challenges life throws at me. I'd be less timid in sharing with what my faith means to me. If I just had more faith, maybe I'd have more courage to share my gifts more freely for the sake of God's work in the world. If only I had a little more faith." Well, in our whimsical wishing for more faith, I think we're not really longing for or praying for more faith at all. What we're really longing for is that God would make it easier for us. We're asking God to snap his fingers and make it happen. There's a humorous comedy sketch about Noah and the Ark that relates to this. 2 hippos are being herded through the doors of the Ark when God says, "Wait a minute, Noah. Both those hippos are male. We need a female." Well, Noah's been loading uncooperative animals all day long, and he's none too happy about God's observation. He starts complaining, "Well, it's pretty impossible to turn a hippo around in a boat, not to mention the inconvenience of having to go round another one up." But God says, Noah, I don't care. Go get another hippo. In impatient desperation, Noah shouts, can't you just change one of them? As humans, we often catch ourselves longing for God to magically do something that will require little or no action on our part. Perhaps it's really not more faith we're longing for. Rather, it's we want God to do for us what we're unwilling to do for ourselves. This is why the verses preceding today's gospel lesson are important to us understanding the whole text. Jesus has just clued his disciples in on what it means to forgive, and the disciples were feeling distraught because they didn't believe they could accomplish what Jesus was asking. I sense their request for more faith was really asking God to fix them so they could be more forgiving. Perhaps they believed with an increase in faith they would magically become what God wanted them to be. But a lack of faith was not their problem. Here once again, Jesus responds to their request, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Note that Jesus doesn't say, if you have enough faith. Jesus says, if you have faith. Now, a mustard seed is a really small seed, and a mulberry tree can grow to be 35 feet tall with a root system of 50 feet wide. To uproot a tree of that size would be a really cumbersome task. In his comparison, Jesus is uplifting that even small faith is capable of great things. You see, in the eyes of Jesus, true faith isn't about quantity. It isn't a matter of how much certainty we can muster. True faith, no matter how small a glimmer, is always a matter of focus. The key to living a life of faith lies in focusing our attention on God, the source of everything. True faith does not focus on our ability to believe enough. True faith focuses on God's ability, on God's faithfulness to us, regardless of whatever circumstance we might face. It's like that old familiar hymn, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So the true basis for faith is focusing on God's faithfulness rather than our own faith. And this brings us to the second part of that gospel lesson, that part where Jesus places emphasis on the obedience of the servant regardless of appreciation or reward. Jesus is pointing out that exhibiting such faith is not about gaining power or control over life's tasks or challenges. Rather, true and simple faith is demonstrated through a desire to serve the Master. Serving with obedient faith is to live out our role as God's servants, placing our trust in God, the only true source of confidence, of hope, of peace, of power. Now, examples of this kind of obedient faith are played out all over the place in the Bible. The men and women uplifted in Scripture are often those whose focus remains on God, regardless of the rewards they may or may not be experiencing in the course of daily life. Think of Abraham and Sarah. They waited, even into their old age, for God's promised son, and then were even willing to sacrifice Isaac at God's request. Noah spent months building an ark on dry land. Think of what the neighbors must have said behind his back when not a drop of rain had yet fallen. Moses wandered 40 years in the desert with a grumbling, discontented bunch of folks, but never actually got to experience life in the promised land. Mary, the mother of our Lord, who as a young teenager yielded herself to God's plan for her, carried and birthed a Savior for the world. The thread that links all of these people of faith is not the strength or quantity of their faith. In fact, many times they faltered and fumbled as they waited on the faithfulness of God. But their relationship with their God gave them confidence and courage in the face of challenge, gave them hope to inspire and motivate their lives, gave them peace and power to press on in obedience. Friends, as I think of today's puzzling gospel lesson, one lesson we can all claim for living is this: we have a faithful God. That is the true source of our faith. In life, we continually find ourselves navigating unknowns in which to live and serve. Our personal resources for facing challenge and crisis are limited. Our vision for the future is nearsighted at best. Every day, the world seems to unravel a bit more, and we don't know what burdens or blessings lie ahead of us. And yet, our loving, faithful God promises to remain at our side in all circumstances. God's provisions for our deepest needs are boundless and true. And so, let's put on the lenses of faith. Let's focus our heart and mind upon the one who remains ever faithful to us. For this faithful presence of our God will empower us as we move forward in faith and trust, whatever the circumstances we face. As we reflect on this message, I invite you to join me with this closing prayer. Lord God, you are the air that brings life to our lungs, the light that fills our souls. You are the power that renews our spirits. Draw us ever deeper into your presence. We place our trust in your faithfulness. May we serve with focus and faith each day. Amen.